your prayerful attention, I direct you to Psalm 139 and verses 17 and 18. Psalm 139, verses 17 and 18. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Psalm 139 and verses 17 and 18. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. We widely believe, beloved friends, that this psalm was penned by dear David when he was faced with the opposition of Saul, and too it could be said the opposition of Absalom. And out of the depths he cries unto the Lord in that trouble. But these words of our text seem to rest on me powerfully. Last evening we went to Attleboro and heard the dear servant of God, and his text was much on the thoughts what man has. And immediately when we got back to our daughter's house, this text dropped in. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. Do we know anything of the precious thoughts of the Lord in our hearts, in our souls? His precious thoughts. Now, you know, really, we should begin this evening with looking at where these thoughts began. God's thoughts are eternal toward his dear people. And the hymn writer said of his eternal thoughts move on. And really we need to go back to before the foundation of the world, the Lord's thoughts were toward his dear people. The eternal three, their thoughts were to redeem his dear bride, his church. And how his thoughts are toward his people. And you know, when we think back of the love of God, the hymn writer said, loved of my God ere time began, I'll love thee in return. And as we think of that love being eternal, so are the thoughts of the Lord toward his dear people. His thoughts are continually toward them. And how it puts us to shame, doesn't it? How many times, think of it through even this day, have our thoughts been unto the Lord when his thoughts are continually with his dear people? He thinks upon them all the time. You know, there are times when our loved ones may be ill or in trouble, and sometimes our thoughts are with them continually, isn't it? Right the way through the day, or maybe through the night season. But you think of the Lord's thoughts. They are continuous toward his dear people. They're never out of his thoughts. It's a deep and profound subject, isn't it, really? But the dear psalmist David, he says, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me. You see, he brings it right home personally, unto me. And of course, David knew what it was to sweetly experience the Lord's thoughts toward him. Now I want to look at this in a few ways. First of all, the Lord's thoughts are far higher than our thoughts. We read in Isaiah, don't we, the Lord said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither my ways your ways. For as the heaven are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts than your thoughts, and my ways than your ways. We could never begin to comprehend the greatness of the thoughts of the Lord. Firstly, the thoughts of the God the Father in sending his beloved Son into this earth. And then the thoughts of the precious Son of God in coming to suffer, to bleed, to die, to rescue wretched, ruined man. His thoughts. You think of even, you know, when we look at a little babe, and that little babe is blessed with a mind, isn't he? And that little mind begins to think. Well, you think in a far greater way of the dear Lord Jesus, when he lay in Bethlehem's manger. How deep and profound were his thoughts. He'd come into this earth, made man, willing to be as a poor man of the earth, and yet knew no sin. And then think of his thoughts toward those that he had to deal with while he walked this earth. His thoughts concerning his beloved parents. His thoughts concerning those that were in affliction. Those that were in trouble. Those that Satan was sifting as wheat. You think of dear Peter, the Lord's thoughts were toward him. Oh, they were. And I thought last evening, you know, and during the night season, how blessed is the Lord's thoughts are continually toward his dear people. You know, when you're in trouble, or when you're in affliction, his thoughts are toward you. And think of how the Lord thought upon those that were to come to him like legion. In his dead state and in his hard rebellious state, but the Lord's eternal thoughts were toward him. And the Holy Spirit will reveal those precious thoughts. And this is what happened with dear David, you see, when he was in the depths of trouble here, under oppression from Saul. And yet the Lord's thoughts were toward him. And what were those thoughts? Well, we read in Jeremiah, don't we, that beautiful word. The Lord said, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Let us tarry a moment there. You see, we often have evil thoughts, don't we? We've got a carnal heart, an old nature that's of this world. And a heart that is sometimes very rebellious. And sometimes we have hard thoughts, don't we? And what is exceedingly solemn, sometimes we have hard thoughts concerning the Lord when we come into deep things. the old nature, our old flesh begins to kick and rebel, and all the thoughts are evil, aren't they? But how different are the Lord's thoughts toward his dear people? Thoughts of peace. You know, in all that Job had to walk through, and it was ever so hard, ever so trying, how would we feel if we had to walk a little of what Job walked in? Of all the onslaughts of Satan, and the losses that he had to incur, and yet, Job was enabled, wasn't he, to see in it, though he felt it hard, that it was for thoughts of peace that were in it, and not of evil. You see, there's no evil thoughts in the Lord. His thoughts are peace toward his dear people. And we know what the issue was with Job, how the Lord brought him out, but you think in it all, you know. It was not for evil, it was for Job's good. And it was for his lasting peace. That's why he had to go through it all. And for his soul's teaching. Thoughts of peace. And not of evil. What? To give you an expected end. You know, it's a wonderful thing when we got a sweet expectation. Think of what the psalmist said. Oh, how many times faith will believe the Lord will grant a blessed expected end in it. You know, when Hannah prayed for a man child, in all the sorrow she was walking in, she had a gracious expectation. Oh, she did. My soul, wait thou only upon God. Why? For my expectation is from him. It's from him. It's a wonderful thing, you know, to have a gracious expectation given by the Lord. How precious, he says. Also are thy thoughts unto me. Those thoughts of peace. And only the Lord can grant it, isn't it? So he says here, how precious. Do we know the precious thoughts of the Lord? The Lord had precious thoughts to dear Peter, if I may just step back a moment to that. You know how Satan desired to have him and to sift him as wheat. But you know, not only were the Lord's thoughts toward Peter, but his prayer was toward Peter. And what did he say? But I have prayed for thee. Oh, to know that the Lord's prayed for us. For I have prayed for thee, that thy faith, that was the faith that God had given him, fail not. He couldn't fail, because that faith that's given by God can never fail. Man-made faith will fail in a moment. And you think how wonderfully the Lord spoke to Peter, didn't he? Precious thoughts, the Lord's thoughts toward him. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. The Lord's thoughts were toward the dear man. And you think of how the Lord's thoughts were toward him when he even denied his Lord and Master. The Lord could have cut him off, but he didn't, did he? Why? Because he loved Peter, and they were in the eternal thoughts. Peter was in those eternal thoughts of the Lord. How precious. And you know, Peter never forgot those words, but I have prayed for them. The Lord conveying his thoughts to dear Peter. It's a wonderful thing when the Lord conveys his thoughts toward us. They're rare, those thoughts. We read concerning the days of Samuel, that wonderful word concerning him, and we read this. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious. In those days there was no open vision. If you understand the meaning of that, and this word precious, here in our text, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, what does it mean? It means they were very rare. And it's very rare the Lord really conveys his thoughts toward his dear people. They're scarce, those times he does reveal. And the word of the Lord, you see, in Samuel's day was scarce. It was precious. But it was made very precious to a few. It wasn't to all men. Rare did the Lord manifest his thoughts. But you see, there are those times when he will. The old Mr. Kirby, who used to be pastor at Staplehurst, my grandfather used to say to me, often said, the real blessings the child of God may have over the full length of their life, if they're spared to 70, 80, 90 years, they can count on their hands, where the Lord revealed his preciousness. How precious. And then think of the Lord's thoughts toward dear Moses, when he was to lead the children of Israel. The Lord unfolded his thoughts in granting him his sweet presence to go with him. Dear Moses was not to walk alone. The Lord's thoughts were continually with him. His presence was continually with him. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. But just to step back, I had intended really to look at it firstly concerning eternity past, before the world was formed, his thoughts toward his people, I hinted at it. But secondly, his thoughts toward us when we were enemies to God. You think of Saul of Tarsus, to use his as an illustration. You know, even when he was persecuting the church of God, hailing men and cast them into prison and to death, the Lord's thoughts were toward him. He didn't agree with what Saul was doing. But the Lord had an eternal thought toward Peter. And the Apostle Paul, toward the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, you know the Lord's thoughts. And when the Lord spoke to him on that Damascus road, the Lord unfolded his thoughts. And what did the dear man have to say? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And it may be in a matter tonight where the Lord's given me this word. You want to know the Lord's thoughts in it. You know, in times of crisis and times of trouble, and I've often thought of it in the years I was on committee. You know, it's not what this person thinks or that person thinks. There's too much of that today. Those looking over the shoulder, well, what will so-and-so say? What will so-and-so? The vital thing is this, what is the Lord's thoughts in the matter? I remember going to a very difficult meeting, one of the troubles in one of our churches some years ago. There was this opinion and that opinion, what ought to be done? And I remember saying at that meeting, the vital thing, beloved brethren, is what is the Lord's thought in the matter? Because then it will stand. And you see, yeah, that's a wonderful thing, the Lord's thoughts. And when he conveys those thoughts, how precious they are. David could speak of it, couldn't he? You look at the times the Lord spoke to him when he was in trouble, and the Lord unfolded his thoughts toward him, and what he got to do in all matters. We know David was a poor fallen sinner, but you know, we are the same. We've no stones to cast at him. But oh, to know the Lord's thoughts. You may wonder why we read together that 40th Psalm. There's some very precious words in it that seem to so rest upon me. We read in verse 5, the dear psalmist says, "Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done." And then he says this, "And thy thoughts which are to us ward." Thy thoughts which are to us ward. You see, his thoughts of love and affection are toward his dear people. And then we find too, as dear David comes to the end of the psalm, and he says this, "But I am poor and needy." Do you know what it is to feel that? It may be in a certain thing that exercises you and burdens you and troubles you, and I, "Lord, but I'm so poor." The hymn writer said, didn't he, "Blessed are they that are brought to see their emptiness and poverty. But I am so poor," he says, "but I am poor and needy." And then he says this, "Yet the Lord thinketh upon me." He thinketh upon me. He thinks upon you, poor soul, in the night season when you may lay awake and troubled. He thinks upon you when you're faced with a roaring devil. You know, the Lord's thoughts were toward David when he went forth to fight Goliath. The Lord's thoughts were toward him. And the Lord unfolded his thoughts that the Lord would deliver David, and not only deliver David, but deliver Israel from that great Philistine army. The thoughts of heaven were toward him. And what does he say here? "Yet the Lord thinketh upon me." He thinketh upon me. His thoughts are continually upon me. You may have those thoughts tonight, "Lord, what shall we do in this and what shall we do in that?" You seek the Lord to unfold his thoughts, and not only his thoughts, but his will. But then he goes further. He says, "Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God." Make no tarrying. And we think too, just to use a simple illustration from the Word of God, of when the brethren of Joseph sold him down into Egypt. You know, they had evil thoughts concerning Joseph. Much of it was because of jealousy. And what did they do? They sent him down to Egypt. But it wasn't them that sent him. We read later on in that beautiful record concerning Joseph that the Lord sent him to preserve. He tells the brethren, doesn't he? He said, "The Lord sent me down before you to preserve life and to preserve a posterity in the earth." And you see, the Lord's thoughts were not the thoughts of those evil men. What did Joseph say to them later on when he made himself known to them? "Ye meant it for evil." Their thoughts were evil, but God meant it for good. And you think how precious those thoughts were towards dear Joseph. When he was in the pit, the Lord's thoughts were toward him. They were thoughts of peace and not of evil. And then the Lord's thoughts were toward him in Potiphar's house. How wonderfully the Lord's thoughts were toward him and keeping him by his mighty power. And then the Lord's thoughts were toward him in the prison, weren't they? Oh, they were. You know, he found it hard, especially for those last 2 full years that he had to be in that prison. When the butler and the baker, he unfolded, didn't he, the dreams of them. But how soon the butler forgot him. He soon forgot Joseph, but the Lord hadn't forgotten him, had he? It's a wonderful thing, isn't it, the Lord hasn't forgotten him. I think of that beautiful word in the prophecy of Isaiah. I remember dear Mr. Cornford preaching from it at Bounds Cross many years ago now, it must be nearly 50 years ago. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. It's a beautiful word that is, you know. I've never forgotten preaching from it. For a small moment have I forsaken thee. That's how he felt, and the Church of God felt, forsaken. But with great mercies, the Lord's thoughts were precious, you see, to the Church of God. Oh, they were. Now, he says here, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. They can never be measured. Man tries to fathom this out about the thoughts of God and that out, but they never can. How great is the sum of those thoughts? It can never be measured. Oh no. And then he says, if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. We can never begin, can we, to measure the sand, and we can never begin to manage to count the thoughts of the Lord. Many may try, and with a little amount of sand, to count those grains of sand, but they cannot. It's past all comprehension, isn't it? And so are the thoughts of the Lord. But I want to just briefly turn this round a little, has helped, and bring it right home to us each. What about our thoughts? Because Jesus said to the dear disciples, he put them to the test, and the Lord does put his dear people to the test from time to time, you know. And what does he say, did he say to them? And what think ye of Christ? How would you answer that this evening? The hymn writer said, John Newton, you cannot be right in the rest unless you think rightly of him. Do we know, and this is important to each of our souls, something of the preciousness of Christ and his precious thoughts toward us? That's a very sacred, yet a very searching hymn, that beautiful hymn, and what think you of Christ is the test, to try both your state and your scheme. You cannot be right in the rest unless you think rightly of him. And let's pause a moment. How is it the child of God is the only person or the only family in the earth that can think rightly of Christ? It's because there's a new creation in them. You know, when the work of grace is begun in a sinner's heart, Christ is formed in the sinner, the hope of glory. And like a little babe, as that is formed in the womb by the Lord, that's formed and its faculties are all given by the Lord, and those faculties, as that time goes along, that those faculties grow. And one of the faculties it will have will be the mind. And that controls its everything. You know, if a person's mind goes, they can't control anything. It's a wonderful thing, the mind is. It's past all comprehension, how it works. Even the experts in the mind cannot fathom it all out. I remember going to see one of the Lord's servants in Hayward Heath Hospital, and while I was with him, the specialist who specialises in the mind, he said to us, he said, you know, I know a lot about the mind naturally. I've studied it for I don't know how many years, but he said, I can never enter into the profoundness and the greatness there is in it. He said, I know a lot, but I don't know it all. But you see, in that mind, now what I want to come to is this just briefly. You see, that little babe's mind, as soon after it's born, it will think. Now look at it spiritually. We can never think rightly of Christ unless we have been born again as that new creation within the sinner. Christ formed in them the hope of glory. And that mind thinks upon the dear Redeemer. And has sweet thoughts of him, precious thoughts. And what does the hymn writer say? As Jesus appears in your view, as he is beloved or not, so God is disposed to you, and mercy or wrath are your lot. But oh, to come in with that last beautiful verse, you know, it's a lovely verse, it's a precious verse to sinners. And what did dear Mr. Newton say? I often think of it, you know, when I've gone to Olney Church and think of the dear man, what he was brought out from and brought to fear the Lord. If asked, what of Jesus I think? Now where do you and where do I stand in this tonight? Is he precious? Peter could say unto you, therefore which believe he is precious. Why? Because he knew a little of the preciousness of Christ in his own soul and the precious thoughts the Lord had toward him. If asked what of Jesus I think, though still my best thoughts are but poor, and they are, aren't they? You would think more and more of him. I was thinking earlier of the psalmist as we travelled down from Warwickshire this afternoon. I was thinking of those beautiful words of the psalmist when he said, my meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Though still my best thoughts are but poor, I say he's my meat and my drink, my life and my strength and my store, my shepherd, my husband, my friend, my saviour from sin and from thrall, my hope from beginning to end, my portion, my Lord, and my all. You know, you may not be able to lay claim to much tonight, but do you not have some sweet thoughts of him? And you know, the Lord will grant those. Oh, he will. We think of that beautiful word in the prophecy of Malachi where he said, and the book of remembrance shall be written to them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. You know, it's a wonderful thing to have those precious thoughts. The world don't, do they? The natural man just thinks of the dear Redeemer as a man and thinks of him in their carnal state. But the child of God who have those precious thoughts because he's made precious to them, and he's in their thoughts. And they're in his thoughts. Well, may the Holy Spirit sweetly grant us more and more to know the precious thoughts of the Lord toward us. And he said, when I awake, I am still with thee. You know, you can spend all day trying to think of the Lord, and it wears your poor mind out. You go to sleep. He says, when I awake, I'm still awake. And you're still thinking of him. And that's a wonderful place, you know. Awake, thinking on the dear Redeemer. I hope there have been a few times when we have. We've gone to sleep thinking of him. We wake in the morning thinking of him. When I awake, I'm still with thee. Well, I've scratched the surface. May the Holy Spirit grant to us the realities of this. For his name's sake, amen.